Hey y'all, and welcome back to another episode of Christian Girls Pop. We are continuing yet again with the 2023 theme of Sunday School Stories. Every week we look at Bible stories and see how they were brought to life in the lives of those around us. This is to show you that the Bible isn't boring and it's not dead. It's very applicable to us today. And every week you get to hear experiences, testimonies, and so much more of how God has moved within the lives of those around us. And this week is no different. Y'all, I feel like it's going to be a funny week. I'm excited about it. I'm so excited to introduce Hillary Phillips. And y'all may know her. You also may know Charisse the Pig. Y'all, she is the woman behind it. She is the voice behind the pig telling all these crazy Bible stories. And so I'm excited for y'all to hear about her. So she has a strong social media presence, and she just has a really cool, relatable way to teach scripture. And you can just see how God has moved in her life. And she's open about things that she's gone through in her story and just how God has really just redeemed her. And so I'm excited for y'all to hear about her as we talk about the story of Joseph. So Hillary, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks, God.
I know Charisse.
Girl, we about to get up in the Word.
No, thank you so much. I'm glad to be on the podcast. I think it's going to be a blast today.
Y'all, it's going to be a fun time. I don't even know how you just do that so quick on demand. I would have had to clear my throat or something. You just like went for it.
Like Charisse, you know, she just up in me. You know, I just be improvising with Charisse. You know, you might just through the podcast, she might have a little debut once or twice.
For the people who have no clue who Charisse is that are watching this, y'all are going to be so confused. I apologize in advance.
Like, man, somebody this is crazy. Immediately like, what is wrong?
Like, oh, wow, she has two personalities.
Right, like, why she switches so fast? Y'all, there's a whole backstory behind it. But anyways, I'm excited to get this week's episode. So, the story of Joseph. Y'all have probably heard of Joseph at some point. If you grew up in church, you went to Sunday school, he's a pretty prominent Bible character. And you can find his story in Genesis chapter 37 through 50. So there's a lot to say about Joseph and his life. And my boy Joseph, he went through it. He was a man of God and he went through it. But there's so much cool stuff that you can see throughout his story. So obviously, we're not going to read 13 chapters, but I'm going to give you all a little synopsis of what happens in his story before we get into this episode. So with Joseph, he was a son of Israel, also known as Jacob, and he had brothers. So Joseph was super gifted. His father loved him. He was the favorite child. So his brothers felt some type of way. His brothers recognized his gifts, and Joseph was a dreamer. He also was an interpreter, but he was a dreamer. And so with that, he actually had dreams of how the world was going to go the next couple of years, how there was going to be a famine. And the part that his brothers didn't like was that he was dreaming about how they were going to bow down and worship him. And they was like, nah, bruh, not going for it at all. So because of how his brothers felt, they actually decided to take action. And long story short, he ended up in a pit. His father thought he was dead, and they made him believe that his child, Joseph, was dead. He was sold off into slavery by his brothers. He ended up in prison because of his brothers. And, that wasn't because of his brothers, but he ended up in prison. And then he ultimately ended up being fully restored. And he made it to the palace. He was up there with the king. He had a royal position. But there was a journey, there was a process. And so we see a lot of different attributes of Joseph show up throughout the story. We also see a lot of attributes about God and how he shows up within the story too. And I love Joseph. And fun fact, y'all, Genesis 50:20, which is the last chapter of Genesis. It's one of the last verses of Genesis. That's my favorite verse ever. And basically Joseph was just saying what the enemy meant for evil, God turned it for good. And I've seen that show up in my life, and that's a little bit about Joseph. That's a little bit about his story, and we're going to get into it some more. So Hillary, you chose the story of Joseph to be the story that you wanted to discuss. So why did you pick this story? What stands out about this story that made you want to talk about it?
Yeah, so this story is my absolute favorite Bible story ever.
Obviously, you got the gospel, right? You got Jesus, the whole point of the Bible. But I feel like non-related to Jesus, this story, because when I first started walking with God, I didn't grow up in the church. I didn't have a super strong biblical background. My parents are believers. I always considered myself a believer. But we had a really turbulent home life, just a lot of strife and just trouble that my parents dealt with. And so when I turned 18, that was the first time I fully gave my life to God. And there's a whole story to that. But I was just so angry at God for a really long time. I didn't understand his love, and his favor. I didn't understand his hand on our lives. And so when I did end up just fully surrendering to him and walking with him, and he met me, I just encountered the Holy Spirit, fully started to understand what it meant to be loved by God, to walk with him. The story of Joseph ended up being one of the first Bible stories that, like, I did in a Bible study, and people kind of started to break it down. And I identified with Joseph in certain ways where, even though I had a lot of turbulence in my home life growing up, I also had a lot of good moments and a lot of people that would always say things to me of like, oh, you're going to be really successful. You're going to do all these things. And I didn't always necessarily think I'd get there. You know, I had this idea and this vision, but didn't know how to get there, right? And so when I started walking with God and surrendered all these things to the Lord, the story of Joseph showed me how much when you walk with God, you might go from place to place, and the places you end up might not look anything like what God has put in your heart or what you feel like God's leading you to. But all of it matters. Like, every place that Joseph ended up was actually a setup for where he was going to be by the hand of God. Like, so to me, it reminds me that God wastes nothing. That when you walk with God, it doesn't matter what people try to do. No one can remove the favor of God from you. That when you are willing to surrender and hold on to the vision God gives you, that even when it doesn't look like that vision is coming to pass, you can have confidence, not in your own vision or your own ability, but in God's ability. And patience, because Joseph got sold off into slavery when he was 17 years old. I don't remember exactly how old he was when he became second in command over Egypt, but he was older. It was him and many years of a process before he actually got to where God originally told him he was going to be. So yeah, there's so many layers that I can go into, but that story is something that I think of regularly whenever I feel like discouraged or I feel like I'm not in the place that I should be. For whatever reason, I start feeling that way, the Holy Spirit will just bring that back to my mind and be like, when you walk with me, you could be comfortable and confident that you are where you need to be. You're with me.
Yeah. So, I love that. That's so good. And that's the thing that sticks out to me about Joseph is the process that's involved. And God gave him the dream knowing when it would occur, but he didn't give Joseph that timeline. And I think that's the thing that like catches us, you know, kind of off guard sometimes, is when we're like, yes, I'm excited. God gave me this thing. And then he's like, yeah, but you're not going to see it for like 10 years. And you're like, oh man, like it can be discouraging. Like, can I get an update? Like, it's like trying to track a mail package. It's like, okay, yes. I bought it. Where is it? You know, like, where,
no update available.
None. He's like, it's on the way. Package. Yeah. And I'm like, give me something. Can I get a tracking number? Like, give me anything. And that's how it can be, like walking by faith. Like you said, knowing that God has certain things for our lives and not seeing them. And that's things I've seen over and over again in my life. Like, there's things that Christian Ghost Pop is doing now that God gave me vision for like 4 years ago. He didn't give me a timeline though. So I was like, oh, okay, cool. Like, I just like wrote it down and like, okay. And then it shows up and I'm like, oh, it's now. Like, sometimes I'm surprised by the timeline. Other times I'm discouraged or I'm waiting, you know, and I can't imagine what Joseph felt like. Like, even though he got favor while he was in prison and, you know, like God was still blessing, like he was still in prison for something he didn't even do, you know? Mm-hmm. And so it's like, it can be easy in those moments to get discouraged and be like, God, like, have you forgot about me? You know, and there's other people in the scriptures that feel the same way. David is one of them. And he writes that out several times throughout the Psalms. Like, Lord, like, have you forsaken me? Like, how long are we going to do this? You know, but I like what you said, like, that's, it can be encouraging if you look at it through the right lens and knowing that, okay, if God gave this to me, if God showed me this, then at some point he has to come back on his word. Like, it could be 25 years from now, but I'm going to see it. Right. You know, and that's the cool thing about God is that his word doesn't return void, so that there is a hope in that of like, okay, he's coming through. Okay.
Exactly. And like, I think one of the things that's interesting is when you look at Joseph, despite everything he went through over and over, you see how he was obedient to God. Like Joseph walked uprightly before the Lord as much as he could. And that's why he got in the position he was in. But I also think of other Bible characters who had the favor of God, right? You think about Abraham. He made the Ishmael decision, right? He was like, got a promise from God that he was going to have another son, have Isaac. And when it wasn't happening in the right timeline, he took that timeline into his own hands and, you know, end up having Ishmael. And so while that wasn't the original plan, obviously, like, it worked out in the end. Abraham did have Isaac, you know, but because he took it into his own hands, it led to other consequences that even we live with today. So I just think about our lives, right? We walk with God, and that's, to me, I'll speak personally, sometimes that's the battle I'll face, where it's like, all right, Lord, I feel like I'm trusting you. I'm walking with you. But then when I'm looking at the timeline of stuff, it's like, well, is there something I'm supposed to be doing that I'm not doing? Like, maybe I'm not hearing you. Like, you know, I'm sorry. Right.
I missed something, clearly.
Yes, I must have jacked up somewhere along the line, you know? And then like, it's this reminder to just be still. And I think that that's harder to do when we live in the culture we do. It's super fast paced. It's super like, on to the next thing, keep going. But when you're just resting in God, which has been the theme of my year of learning to just be still in God, I think that it brings on this peace to trust his timeline, you know?
Yeah. And when you're resting in him, you get to learn more about him. And that's what ultimately leads to that confidence. You know, right. Like if you met like those old saints that they got history with God and they're just like so sure about everything they say, like the Lord will provide. And you're like, but I don't see it. And they're like, mm-mm, the Lord will provide, because they've seen it, because they've taken time to get to know who he is. And so that's the beautiful part of this process that we can see through Joseph, through different other Bible characters, and that we can also experience in our own lives, is the element of getting to know God through the process. And man, process feels like a curse word sometimes. I'm like, nobody wants to know it. Like, no, like, you know, like us single girls, yeah. Like we want a man. And he's like, but I'm going to make you a better woman. I'm like, forget that. Give it to me.
God.
That's irrelevant. I don't care. Like, it can apply for anything.
I thought you said proposal. Like,
it's like, I'm sorry, Lord. I didn't hear that process.
I misheard you. Pop the question.
Right. Like, and we don't like the process, but it does so much in us that by the time we, here's the thing. By the time we get to the promise, it's like, we don't even like hold it as much in like an idle position as we did when we first started, because of all that we've developed in, matured in, and that all that we've known about God. By the time we get there, we're like, oh, that's cool. But God though.
Yeah.
The man's great, but God, like, yes. He gets us to that point where I want you to be just like this by the time you get there. And so he knows the perfect timing, and it's up to us to trust that he is sovereign enough to do things in his time. And that's what I love about God, is his sovereignty. Like, he's literally like spinning the whole world right now, and he's making sure that like my heart is beating, you know, like how, you know, but like he's sovereign because he's God, he can do those things. And it's like, okay, if I can trust that the earth will keep spinning until he wants it to stop, like if I can trust that my heart will keep beating until he wants it to stop, then I can trust all the other things about my life too. So whether I'm in the pit, whether I'm in a prison, whether I'm in a place in my life where it does not look anything like what God has already told me about, then I trust right. that I'm getting there at some point. Like, the palace will come at some point, you know?
Right. Like, I really wonder, because it doesn't really go into it, but I wonder what Joseph's disposition was like how he was really feeling and thinking in those places. Because I think sometimes as a church, we confuse how we feel versus how we act. Because, like, the Bible calls him a man of faith, like, you know, says he's faithful to God, all this, but that doesn't mean he didn't feel discouraged or he didn't feel forgotten. Like, I don't know. That's all hearsay, we could guess.
Right.
And he's human. So it's not like he was walking through this and unfaltered and every single step of the way. He's like, the vision will come to pass. Like, I imagine that there was such a deep processing and healing because he was sold into slavery by his brothers. He had 12 brothers, one sister, right? And all of the ones that sold him off, like, that's relationship that got cut off abruptly. And not just cut off, it got cut off because of jealousy of something you had no control over. Like, the favor that was given to Joseph wasn't because of anything he did. Like, his father loved Joseph so much because he was born of Rachel. And Rachel was his favorite wife. You know, he had Leah and he had Rachel. And he didn't like old cock-eyed Leah, which is jacked up because Leah was awesome. I mean, sex was great. I mean, the Bible says she had weak eyes or something like that. I could be totally interpreting that wrong, but that makes me think that Leah was love.
Just one eye just drifting off.
One eye is the drifting, you know? Am I?
I can't get past that. I'm sorry.
I mean, I go just breeze past that. But it's true. Like, Leah ended up having so much favor from God because she had all of these sons and she was faithful to a man that didn't mistreat her, but didn't love her. You know, he loved Rachel, and Rachel was able to have Joseph. So I mean, whatever his daddy was like, yes, that's my son. You know, it's a kind of a weird, that's family history. That's dysfunction and unhealth from his father, right? But now Joseph has to suffer the consequences of that. And how often are we in those situations where we get put in positions that actually don't have anything to do with us, but everything to do with the people around us, you know? And Joseph probably was cool. But his brothers hated him because of his father.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's just interesting how sometimes we're living life and we're doing what we can, the best of our ability to, like, treat others well and whatever. But there's so many things out of our control. And I think that's why God always humbles us to remind us, like, I'm the one in control. Because all this, you ain't really got to say. You could do everything right and still end up in a pit somewhere.
That's so good, because people will, like you said a while back, kind of bring up, like, Lord, I'm living for you. Like, I'm doing all this. Like, what? Why am I the problem? Like, Joseph is like, you know, because time and time again through these chapters, it says Joseph was a man of God. Joseph lived right before the Lord. Like, he was pleasing in the eyes of the Lord. Like, he wasn't out here, like, just rebelling and just living on the wild side. Like, he was trying his best to live for God. Yet this was the process that God allowed for him to go through. And we can get to that point, you know, like, maybe God has given us the promise of a pregnancy, but we're not seeing that. And we're like, Lord, like, I'm serving at church. Like, I'm doing all these things. Like, I'm living for you. I'm trying to live out your word. Like, where's this promise? You know, like, or insert whatever it is that you're believing God for, or that you're waiting on God for. It can be easy in those moments to be, like, kind of frustrated about it, you know, because, like you said, even though it didn't say, I'm sure Joseph had some type of moment because of just him being human, sitting in the prison cell, like, I didn't even do anything. Like, why am I here? When is the vision of everything that you've shown me coming to pass? Like, when is all of this going to happen? It can definitely be frustrating. And I love that God still gave Joseph favor while he was in those spots. It was kind of like a little, like, hey, I'm still with you, you know, like, reminding him, because we need reminders from time to time. When things come our way, when things don't go our way or how we want them to go or how we expect, we need those reminders from God of, like, okay, I'm doing the right thing, even if it doesn't make sense. And so I love that even in the midst of all that, Joseph still got favor. But man, like, Joseph, he went through it. He really did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so we
get aside, Joseph had to have been fine.
The Bible says he was a well-built man.
If the Bible say you look good,
he was fine.
Grum diddly-ish. Like, Potiphar's wife threw herself at the man. That's the whole reason why he ended up in prison.
That's why he went to jail, y'all. Somebody lied on him. She lied on him. Yep, tried to sleep on me. And he's like, ma'am, I did not touch you.
She's like, Miss Ma'am, keep your hands to yourself. Miss Potiphar over there trying to make Joseph her little side piece. Like, we do not do that. Joseph, yeah. Like, I'm a man. I'm living for the Lord. I'm living for the Lord. And she was like, inhabited. She was like, okay, fine. You don't want me? If I can't have you, nobody can.
Off to jail you go, buddy. Locked up. The Bible. I love that the Bible took time to mention Joseph was a well-built man, like good looking. I'm like, he must have been fine.
And humble. Like, you know, because to me, it's like, it's interesting that was mentioned, because why would it need to be mentioned, right? There's so many people in the Bible that probably were attractive, but it's not brought up. And to me, it's like, it's just another layer to the story of who he was and another avenue for jealousy or for attack and opposition, you know.
When you fly, it be like that.
It be like that. You either got people hating on you, trying to throw you in piss, or trying to get in your pit. Like, yeah. No.
Yeah.
Whatever that means. Use your imagination. I don't know. I said that. I was like, I don't think that means that.
No. We're going to make it to this episode, y'all. I promise we are. Okay. I'm back. Okay. So, yes, that is, I was about to ask, what are the different verses that stick out to you? But that's definitely one of them for sure. Like, the fact that it's just mentioned that he was a handsome man. Like, you got to give him his credit. Like, he was nice, you know? He was nice to look at. Clearly, that's why Potiphar's wife knew what she did. One of the verses that stuck out to me was, it's towards the latter, it's like towards the end of the chapter when Joseph is now in the palace and he invites his brothers to come and meet him. Mm-hmm. So y'all, a little bit of an update, Joseph moves on to the palace, but because Joseph has been away for so long, like he's begun to spoke a different language, he looks different. And so when his brothers actually come, because the country's in a famine, his brothers come to him and they don't even recognize him, which kind of like breaks his heart, you know? But even when he invites them for dinner, they still don't recognize who he is. And when they leave, and he kind of gets the update about things, when they leave, he starts crying. Like, he's weeping the rest of the night. And that part just sticks out to me so much, because it shows his humanity. Like, just like Hillary was talking about, like, he's really been through it these years and just seeing the progress, but like also seeing his heart. The fact that like his brothers have done all this wrong, he still invites him to dinner, and then he weeps and just knowing that they don't know who he is, and just like he so desires that relationship with his brothers. And somebody could look at this and be like, man, like why has God allowed all of this, you know? But you can look at the other side of it and see what was done and what was developed in Joseph all these years. And just what it is to really live for God, because he still he treated his brothers with so much respect, and he never like did them dirty when he could have. But just the fact of him just weeping, it's like, I get it. You know, like there's things that I've experienced in my life. There's things that I've waited on in my life. And there's when times it's like, man, like, God, I know that you can restore this. I know that you can come through on this. But right now, this just hurts. You know, like he wept so long, he just kicked everybody out and he just wept like the whole night. And I was just like, I want to give Joseph a hug. Like, I just want to give him a hug, because like, you know, it shows that like, man, this isn't always easy. The process isn't always easy. And so with that verse specifically, like I want to use that to encourage other people and knowing that as you're going through this process, God doesn't expect you to have it all together. He doesn't expect you to just put on a fake smile every day. There's going to be times when you're going to cry. There's going to be times when you will be frustrated, or you may not just really understand all that's going on and all the emotions that go with that. But in knowing that as you're being human, as you're being real with your emotions with God, like knowing that he's still with you and he's not like caught off guard by that. Like, you don't have to try and put on a front, you know, like you can just be real with him.
Yeah, 100%.
I love that. Like, one of the things you said that stood out a lot was when you were talking about, like, when Joseph ended up being put in, you know, command and his brothers didn't recognize him. It was just this, like, realization of, wow, when you walk with God and he repositions you, the people from your past won't always recognize you. Like, they won't recognize who you become and what God does in you and in your life. And sometimes I feel like the pain of it is not just that you're not recognized, it's that you're also confronted with a past reality, ooh, right? Like, there is so much change that happened, and it's probably so much healing that took place. And maybe there was part of him that thought he would never see his family again. I don't know. But to be confronted now with your past, knowing how different you are, and now I got to reconcile the two. Like, I got to actually, this new me has to deal with some stuff from the old me. Like, and I got to bring those together. That's a painful process. Like, I'm in that process right now. And that's why I'm having that revelation, because I'm like, dang, Lord, this is an answered prayer, because I've been feeling these tensions and these things that aren't related to my present moment, but I'm being confronted with some things from my past, and now I'm having to sift through them. And it's like, okay, God, this is because you're ready to do some new things in my life, but I got to deal with these things first. So anyway, that stood out to me.
That is so good. I love that. That's a whole different revelation from the exact same thing, but that is so true, because the process, it does something in us. It should, if you allow God to do what he wants to do. But there are moments when you have to face who you like, I guess the you that people knew you to be, you yeah. know, yeah. You know that you're a new creation. You know that God has done a new thing. And that could be because of salvation. That could be because of healing, deliverance. That could be just because of walking with the Lord, sitting with the Lord, resting with him, whatever it is. There's a change that occurs as we go through being sanctified and being more like Jesus, but other people, they may not always catch up. And so they may only look for you to be in this form, in this shape. And they're like, I don't know. That can't be her. There's literally people in my life right now. They're like, that cannot be Stephanie. Teach her about Jesus. That absolutely not. They're like, I got receipts. I got screenshots. I can pull up some stuff on Stephanie. I'm like, y'all chill, bro. Chill. You ain't got to do that. But I get it. Like, I remember there was even a point in my life when I had to even, this is kind of sort of related, but I had to even kind of just like ask the Lord, like, you for real want me to do this? Because I know what I used to be, you know? And it's like, do you really want me to go and do this new thing? And he's like, yeah. I'm like, but these people know the old me. And he's like, yeah, that's fine. That's fine. And so what happens is you get to reintroduce yourself just like yes. Joseph did. It's like, yes, I know that's who you thought I was. And I was at one point. I ain't even gonna lie. Whatever you just called me. Yep. I was that. Mm-hmm. You're right. But that's not me anymore. Let me reintroduce myself, you know? And that's the beauty of the gospel. Like, we get to be new creations. And so it's not, you're not introducing yourself from a place of shame or condemnation, but from a place of freedom, of knowing, yes, you're right. I used to absolutely be those things. But because of what Jesus has done in my life, this is who I am now. And it gives you a beautiful opportunity to share of the gospel. And for Joseph, he got to share with his brothers of what God had done in his life. So the last time they saw him was sold off into slavery. They're like, bye, Joseph. And he gets to reintroduce himself. He's like, hello, it's me. I'm still your brother if you want me to be. But now here I am among royalty. Like,
yeah,
that's what the Lord does. Like, he will, this story is a story of redemption and restoration. He's like, oh, you thought the pit was it? Like, no. Like that's a cool thing. Like, God may have you go through the pit, and you may think this is it, because it's a pit. Like, it feels like the worst part of your life, you know? But he has a palace in mind. And that's the cool thing that we get to walk through with him, is knowing that he won't leave us there. Like, there's so much that God wants to do. So good. That's so good. I'm about to run.
God has a palace in mind. That is good.
Sign up.
We think about our pits. Like, we all have different things that we get put into in our life that seem dark and hopeless. That's the nature of living in a fallen world. You're going to go through some things.
But on the other side of it, like when the word talks about we go from glory to glory in Christ, or while we'll suffer, we'll also partake in his glory. It's like this contrast. I don't believe God wants us to suffer, that God is just wanting to punish us and wanting us to, but God understands the reality of what a fallen world comes with. Like, you can't live in a fallen world and not have fallen consequences, right? But when you have an almighty righteous God on your side, when his hand is on your life, it don't matter whether you're wearing a coat of many colors or not, you still have favor. Like, period.
That's it.
You can get to where you need to be, period.
The end. And that allows us to put our confidence in him, knowing that this is not my end, but he will get me to whatever that is. Yes. This is not the promise just yet, but because he's the one who gave it to me, he has to come back on his word. So I will see the promise. And so that's just like, y'all, be encouraged in knowing that he has every single step in mind. And we may know him as Alpha and Omega, which are just the Greek word to let you know that God is the beginning and the end. But we forget that he's all in the middle too. Like, I don't know the Greek word for middle, so I can't say it, but he's that too. Whatever it is.
I don't know.
Hillary's making
up. I don't try to make up a Greek word. I'm so sorry if I offended anyone who is Greek.
I don't even know what it is. Whoever's Greek, y'all can comment below and let us know, because we don't know. But Hillary, what I do know is that he'll be there. Whatever language you want to put it in, he will be there in the middle. It could be in Chinese. He'll be there too. All the languages. He's there.
Truth, though. It is really the truth. Like, this story, there's so many ways to unpack this story. It blesses me so much. But I also, one of the redeeming things about God is, like, it's never one-sided. Because most of the time when I look at the story, I just focus on Joseph. But you think about his brothers. There had to be remorse, guilt, and shame for what they did.
Yeah.
Because not only did they, like, either think their brother was dead or not know what happened to him, they saw their father suffer because of their actions. And they saw a whole nother side that Joseph never really saw, that we don't hear all the details about, but their father suffered on their hand. And they held that in for all that time. So imagine the healing work that God did.
Yeah.
When they were not only brought before their brother, and it was confirmed that what was said was true, that God's not a liar. So not only did you put your brother through these things unnecessarily, had you just trusted the vision of God, it would have come to pass and you could have been a part of his life along the way. But because you didn't trust the vision of God, God had to rework some things and then bring you back to repentance. Because I guarantee those brothers were confronted with God first. Mm. Of, dang, I should have trusted the vision. Mm. And then second, confronted with their sin and what they did with the vision of God. And that's the thing. You can't mess with the vision of God. You can mess with the vision of man, but you can't mess with the vision of God, because you will reap what you sow.
That part. That's a whole word in itself. Like, y'all, you can't thwart the plans of God. You can't change them if you tried. You can't mess them up. What he says is what he says, and what will happen is what will happen. That's so good. Like, if y'all had just said, okay, when Joseph first came back with the dream and said, yes, this is what we're going to do. You're going to bow down to me. We're going to have a famine. They could have been like, I don't know how I feel about that, but okay. Like, yeah. Trust you, Lord. No, they're like, nope, you got to die. You got to die. We refuse. And it's like, you didn't have to do all that. Like, you really didn't. You really didn't. But trust the vision. And that goes for the people who are having them, that are hearing about them. Trust the vision that God says. He does not make a mistake. He doesn't say stuff just to say it. He doesn't say stuff out of coincidence or out of happenstance. Anything that he says is intentional and will come to pass in your life. And you will see it show up time and time again. You will see the vision come to life. So yeah, like, be encouraged with that for sure.
And it's hard to do, but, like, making sure that you keep your heart in check and you don't unintentionally become jealous of other people's vision, because whether the brothers knew it or not, that's what they allowed to happen. They allowed jealousy to build up in their hearts and minds because of what they saw in their brother. But, like,
what God does, I think, a lot of times is he'll bring people that are in places that maybe we want to be in, or situations, so that we can learn from them. It's not meant for us to be jealous. We should celebrate other people and celebrate the way God moves in their life. Like, I heard a pastor, do you know Jerry Flowers?
Yes. I forgot the name of his church, but yes.
Yes. He's, this man can preach. But uh-huh. He was on a podcast episode and he was talking about Joseph, and he made a comment that stood out to me where he was saying, a lot of times God will position you so that you can see your next step before you're actually there. Like, Joseph was sitting there in front of the king, seeing where he would be before he was actually able to step into that position. But like, God was giving him exposure and insight and understanding and connections so that when it was time for him to be in that position, it wasn't his first introduction. And I'm like, God, you are amazing. Where sometimes we look at things and we actually are jealous of the blessing. Like, you're jealous of what God is doing to bless you. Like, for the girls that are watching, you're in college, maybe you're seeing somebody that's in a career that you want to be in, and you're working hard, studying late, like getting grades that you don't want to get, whatever the case is, and you're feeling like, how can I get there? There could be a temptation to look at other women or other people who are in where you think you need to be and become resentful and jealous of that because you think you won't get there. But the truth is God's leading you. And God will give you examples to encourage you, mm-hmm. if you look at it properly, to say, okay, you know what? What can I learn from the people that are in this position so that when I'm there, I won't be utterly shocked? Like, there's just a lot. We could go deep in that, but there's a lot.
That's so good. That's so good. That is so good, because we can get so caught up in looking at what they're doing. And God's like, if you would just listen to what I have for you, you may be working, you may be sitting right up there next to them. You don't even know, or you may be somewhere completely different, but doing exactly what I have for you to do. Like, if we believe that God is our savior, if we believe that God is Lord, that he's the creator of the universe, can we also believe Jeremiah 1:5 that says that, you know, like, before we were formed in a womb, he already had a purpose and a plan for our lives? Like, you can't pick and choose. Like, let him be God for real, like, in your life. Let him show up with purpose. Let him show up and let you know, like, I have something just for you. Like, you don't have to worry about the next girl and what they got on and what they're doing and what their career looks like and whose man they got. Let me do what I'm trying to do in your life. Like, trust the vision that God has for you. Trust that he has a purpose that nobody can come against, that nobody can try to take it from you if they tried. Like, you got to believe it all the way. Like, for real, He's like, if you would just trust me, I can get you to the palace, whatever that is, for your life, where you will look up and you will say, wow, God really did this. Like, and all I did was let him work. And all I did was kept serving, and I kept showing up, and I kept being faithful. That's the cool thing. You really don't have to do much.
Right.
Like, he has the plan. You don't have to worry about putting it together. You don't have to worry about the 10-year plan and the development and marketing. You ain't got to do none of that. He's got it. All you have to do is say yes.
Yes.
You say yes and you surrender to it, and he will show up in your life. And Joseph, he just kept showing up. Everywhere he was, it said God had favor on Joseph. He was in the prison. God had favor on him. How? You're in the prison. He still was serving. He still was just being blessed. He would just sit there and God was like, yeah, come on, I'm about to do something else. Like, every time. So by the time, just like you said, by the time you get there, you're not even shocked. You're just like, he did say he was going to do it. So I've been trying to tell y'all. That's what I'm trying to be. By the time I get there, I'm like, I tried to tell y'all. Like, me walking in with my, like, rich auntie robe. Like, I tried to tell y'all. Like, period.
Right. But that's the thing, like, you know, I'm telling you, I love this story because you could go on and on. I wonder if Joseph was even supposed to share his vision. Like, I wonder if that was supposed to just be between him and God, because you can't share your vision with everybody. You really can't, because there's a lesson in that. I don't know if God told him to share it, cool, but if he didn't, and Joseph just shared it out of his pride, guess what? All right. Your sin triggered other people's sin.
you ended up in a pit.
Right.
But you know, I just wonder, was he ever even supposed to speak on it?
We don't know, but either way, that is definitely true. I talked with somebody recently about this, and her episode actually released a couple weeks ago, and we talked about how when the Lord gives you a call, it's not a conference call.
Yeah.
You call, this ain't a group huddle.
That's good.
It gathered me. Well, gathered. What the hell? It's not a conference call. He didn't invite you, your mama, and your cousin. And that's why they don't understand. That's why they don't. But that is so good. Everybody is not supposed to know. Like we said, we don't know with Joseph. We don't know if he was supposed to tell him and this was part of the whole story, whatever. But either way, that can be something to know. And I've experienced it where I've just been so excited about something that I'm just like, oh, I can't wait to tell them. And I tell them and they're like not as excited. They're like, oh, okay. And I'm like, did you hear what I said? Do I need to repeat myself? I'm like, is this thing on? Like testing 1, 2, 3. Like, did you not hear what I said? Or they're just like, they go the complete opposite route. And they're like, girl, what? Like me, when I left my career, some people were like, absolutely, I support you. But I knew there wasn't going to be people. I'm sorry. I knew that there was people that I wasn't going to tell until I just told everybody at one time. I'm like, they'll find out on Facebook.
Right.
They hear you. Why are you leaving your career? You worked so hard, you know, and the whole thing. And sometimes they mean well, but I'm like, baby, I got to do what God told me to do. Like, I'm sorry.
Yes.
I can't stay. So yeah, y'all, if God has told you something and you know, it's a big thing, you know, that God has shown you some things that everybody may not understand, be wise of who you're sharing it to. It doesn't mean that you don't tell anybody, but there are some people who will be there, who will support you, who will pray for you, even while you're in the pit and while you're in the prison, when it doesn't look like the palace. But there are going to be other people that as soon as you hit the pit, they're like, mm-hmm. See, I told him that thing wasn't going to come through. See, y'all should have listened to me, right? And they start going on. And then you hit the prison next, and now you're just the laughing joke. You know, they're like, look, this guy. Okay. But then he shows up at the palace. They're on hush mouth. They don't know what to say. But right. You know, they're like, well, so what I meant was, nah, don't try to take me back now.
Right.
But honestly, people, you know, like people, if they don't get it, they're going to be expecting your downfall. They're going to be expecting for this vision to not come to pass. And if you're not around the right people, they will drop negativity over and over again. And those seeds will plant and they will begin to sprout up. And you're like, well, maybe it's not going to come to pass. Maybe I won't see the palace. Maybe they won't bow down to me. You begin to doubt where once you had full confidence in God. And now you're like, well, did he really mean like bow down, you know, like you start questioning everything. And so it who you tell your vision to will determine how you go about the next seasons of your life. If he's told you that you're going to have a baby, even though the doctors have said otherwise, you don't have to keep going back to tell the doctor. The doctor's not going to believe you. Just show up with the baby in your hand and be like, as I said, the doctor, the Lord, I was going to have a baby. Like sometimes you just got to get, they'll figure it out. They'll find out. Yeah. Like
so,
you,
that's so good. I think too, for just to elaborate, for those of you watching that maybe you're like, well, how do I know who to trust with my vision? You won't always know, but you can pay attention to what you're showing, right? You might think you can trust somebody with your vision, but you need to listen to what comes out of their mouth and how they respond. If they're belittling it, they're constantly unable to understand it, they can't see it, they're saying and doing things that might look a little bit like Joseph's brothers, you know, like they might want to lead you in a pit because of your vision, that's your time to step back. You don't have to disengage from the relationship or the friendship, but to just sit back with God and say, Lord, how do I move forward? And just ask the Lord for wisdom on what you share and don't share, you know? And that's a learning curve. That's something that you'll be able to apply to many areas of your life. But when people start switching up on you, stay true to who you are, but switch up what you share, because they're telling you what's in their heart, you know? So
yeah, that's a good point. And you may not always get it right. I've definitely had times where I've just gotten burned by sharing it. And I'm like, now you know something that was probably too personal or something that's, you know, because like if God's giving me a vision, like that's a pretty personal thing that I'm just not going around telling everybody. And so, you know, it kind of sucks when you're like, man, like now you know that part of my life, but it's like, okay, well, I've learned from it. And then you learn of who you can and can't tell. But yeah, Hillary's right. They will show you for sure. They will let you know. They will let you know of okay, I never said, I don't even want you to know my favorite color anymore. Like, never mind, girl. You want to just go eat some McDonald's or something?
The vision privileges are revoked. We ain't talking about nothing other than the TV.
No, literally. It's perfect. It's life. It's like, y'all, vision can kind of be like a pregnancy. Like, you gotta protect that thing at all costs. Everybody, like, is not meant to be a part of that. Everybody's not meant to come alongside of that because they can be the ones that are like in a metaphorical sense trying to help you abort this thing versus trying to help you bring it to birth. And so it's like you gotta know whose hands this vision is in. And so yeah, like yes. Some people, they'll just find out when you show up with your rich auntie royal robe on. They're like, oh, she made it to the palace. Okay, cool. Like,
I'm loving this rich auntie analogy because my sister just had a baby. And let me tell you, I'm aiming for the rich auntie robe too, okay? Like,
yes.
I'm sachet, okay?
Yes. Gotta get some fur, you know? Like, just get your little...
Looking like Mary J. Blige.
Exactly. That's exactly what I was going for.
I'm there's a very specific style of boot that is auntie. Like, there's the auntie boot. Like,
they're like, oh, you ain't got no kids, huh? You just everybody's auntie.
Y'all know, you know, there's an auntie boot. Like,
yes. No, it's that some people, you just gonna have to show up at the party like that. And that's when they're going to find out.
Yeah.
Period. It be like that sometimes, and they will know. Like, everybody don't gotta know right away. So, man, that was so good. I love that you shared that point and just really just digging in deep of all the little areas that are the story of Joseph. And like you said, there's so much more, from the pit to the prison and all the other things, and just the fact that God gave him gifts. There's just so much. We didn't even really touch on that, but God gave Joseph gifts, and he used those gifts while he was in the prison. God will still use stuff in your life while it doesn't even look like you think it will. Mm-hmm. There's so much. And you said this way back at the beginning of the conversation, but the fact that nothing is wasted. And so we can trust that over our lives. That's one of like my favorite sayings, and just encouraging myself and encouraging other people, is knowing that nothing is wasted. What we have in our life, what we have already like in as far as our purpose goes, our talents, our gifts, anything that God has given us, he doesn't give them to us accidentally. He doesn't just happenstance like, oh yeah, I guess you can have this one thing. He is so methodical about how he does things. And from the moment, even before you were formed, he already was like, in 2023, such and such will be doing this for my kingdom. Such and such will have this encounter with this person who will change her life. He has it all thought out. And so just trust the vision, trust the gifts that God has given you, trust the process. Lord, help us, Lord. Trust the process and trust ultimately that he's in control and he really can figure this whole thing out. Like, y'all, like for real, he can figure this whole thing out. That makes it easy on you. You just show up, you give him your yes, and he does the rest.
Amen.
So good. All right. So last minute advice, what would you give to someone who is in that process right now? And they're just struggling, right? Like, it's just, they hear us laughing and they can't even laugh. Cause it's like, I'm not feeling it. Y'all, I've been there. So no judgment. I get it. But what would you give them as advice to someone who's just in that rough spot, whether the pit or the prison, knowing that God has given them prophecy or promise over certain things, but it doesn't look anything like it right now?
Yeah, I would say first, it's okay to not be okay. Like, you can feel what you're feeling, especially when we're going through negative feelings. There can be a tendency to push back and not want to actually process what's going on with us. But in that space, with whatever you're feeling, whether it's discouragement, you're just tired, hopelessness, whatever is coming up for you, be willing to invite God into that space. If all you can do is say, help me, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
If all you can do is say, I don't see it, God. I'm having a trouble trusting you, but I still invite you into this. That's enough. Like, your willingness to invite God in, no matter what you're going through, is the very thing that's going to get you through. So that's the advice I have. And also letting like wisdom lead you in who you bring into that place with you, because we aren't meant to do life alone, right? We're meant to have community. Mm-hmm. There were points in my life when I had strong community, points when I didn't, you know, like, and so especially when I first started walking with God, I lost a lot of the community I had because we weren't living in the same way. We weren't both serving the Lord. And so I prayed and fasted and asked the Lord to bring godly people into my life. And he did that. But in that in-between time of the waiting, I learned a lot about how to be with God. It was kind of like my version of the prison, you know, of like, how do I learn to, in these places that feel hopeless, that make me feel trapped, how do I learn to still trust you, God? And so, yeah, that's my advice. Invite God into your situation and trust that he'll get you through it.
That's so good. I love that. And I hope that those that are in that situation will hear this and be encouraged by those words and knowing that he's with us. He really is. So hopefully y'all got some good laughs out of this, some cries, probably a little bit of everything in between, as we went through the story of Joseph. And like I said, these verses are in chapter 37 through 50. And so I would love for y'all to, you know, check that out for yourself, take time to read through to see more of the details that we didn't get to cover. But there's so much in this story, and there's something in there that you can relate to Joseph's story about. There is enough in there for you can find something.
Right.
We all can relate somewhere, somehow. There's a lot. So I encourage you to check that out. It's in Genesis. It's a beautiful story of redemption and restoration, but just also just development and so much more. So make sure y'all check that out. All right. So I know y'all wonder, like, man, Hillary's so cool. I want to follow her. Hillary, where can they follow you? How can they get connected with you and what you got going on?
Yes. So y'all can follow me on Instagram and TikTok. My Instagram is Hills of Hope. My TikTok is What's Up Hill. And I'm going to be doing a lot of fun projects this year. So I'll keep y'all in the loop on those platforms with what I'm doing. I also have a YouTube, but I don't really put a lot on there. So that's going to change too. You guys are going to be seeing a lot of YouTube content from me, and I'm just going to be doing a lot more to show you all what I'm doing outside of social media and keep y'all in the loop. But yes, Hills of Hope on Instagram and What's Up Hill on TikTok.
Y'all make sure y'all follow her, keep connected with all the things that she has going on. And like she said, there's some cool stuff dropping. So y'all better stay subscribed, followed, all the things so that you can be the first to know when new stuff is happening for her. Hill, thanks so much for being a part of this episode. I really appreciate everything that we shared and the laughs and everything. It was so much fun.
Thank you. I had a great time. Great conversation.
Yeah, this was fun. So for those, after y'all follow her, make sure if you haven't already, you can follow Christian Girls Pop on Facebook and Instagram at Christian Girls Pop. You can find us on our website at christiangirlspop.com and on YouTube at Christian Girls Pop. Thank y'all so much for tuning into this week's episode. And as always, remember, Jesus already loves you so much. Don't you ever forget that.